I will be visiting with Mrs. Helen Amos. We were talking about the library at the last time I interviewed her, and we have finished that. We are going to talk about her family this morning, and this will be the last interview. Her address is 1304 Raleigh Street. Today's date is February the 15th, 1996. Miss Amos, I need your name and a date.
Helen Curran Amos, and February 15th, 1996.
What did your community call when you was coming up as a kid?
Called Antioch Community.
Did you go to school in your community?
Yes.
What school did you go to?
Andrew B. Duke School.
Give me some history on Andrew B. Duke, please, about the principal and the teachers at that school.
Ms. Lena Smith was principal of the school, and Mrs. Ira Littlejohn worked there. Ms. Rosetta Amos, Ms. Willie Gibson, Mrs. H.P. Cheatham, Mrs. Catherine McGee, Charles Gregory, Bowman Burton. Beecher Gooch.
H.P. Cheatham. Explain, who was H.P. Cheatham?
Mrs. Cheatham. Mrs. H.P. Cheatham was Mr. Cheatham's that was at the orphanage. It was his wife. He was the congressman for a long time ago.
Okay, so the school is tied in. The school was built for the orphanage. And they let the kids in the community
participate. The kids in the community went to the school. The school was a large school, and it was on the orphanage campus.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I heard that, and most of your children that went to that school turned out to be real good students as they went into the high school. Why? Classes were smaller, the teachers.
No, the classes weren't that smaller. We just had good teachers. The teachers were at that time were interested in the children. And everybody that was in the community lived in the community, and the teachers knew the parents. And the parents and teachers worked together to help the children to learn, to see that they got their lessons out at night, and there was always you could go into the school and talk to the teachers about your child. And you very seldom found any children giving any trouble in that school. And I guess it was due to the discipline the teachers had for the students at that time.
And it was a good school because for kids that was orphanage kids, because the teacher was their mother and father, and they nourished them along and looked out for them and treated them fair. And everybody was included in all the activities and things like that, and they didn't have any pressure on them about the kind of clothes they wore or what they had.
Yeah.
Many of your sisters and brothers started out there at Angie B. Duke.
All of them. Everybody went there.
You want to name them all?
Well, first it was Helen and Doris, Rose, Ernestine, Flora, Calvin, and Jean.
How far did the school go to?
Eighth grade.
So, everybody, you had graduation, so.
Yes, we had a graduation exercise, and then you would leave there after graduation and go to Murray Potter. And during that time, we could walk down the street about 200 feet and get a bus, because we at that time you could not ride school on a bus unless you were 2 miles away from the school. And we liked a little better being 2 miles away from school, so we'd walk down the street about 200 feet to get the bus to go back to school, to go to school, to Murray Park.
So the orphanage had their own bus to transport their kids?
Yeah, they had their own bus to transport their children. But this was the county bus that came through Fairport and Antioch and all around to pick up students to take them there. And at that time, we only had one bus in this area, and that bus carried a load the first, and then it go back and get a second load to across the county.
You kidding?
That's right.
It would carry.
And Monty Hespes used to drive the bus.
Wouldn't it carry young kids first in the morning or older kids?
Everybody from in that community rode the same bus.
Okay, so he'd go drop you off and then come back.
Drop us off and then he'd go another route and get done.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's the way they did it.
Yes.
Oh. What about Antioch School as you was going to school? Did you have friends going to Antioch School and you was going here?
They didn't have Antioch School when I was they didn't have school over in Antioch when I came along.
It was closed down. That early?
Yes.
Oh, okay. They didn't know why to tell me that.
They didn't have a school. Well, that school that was over there evidently was a long time ago, before any of us went to school. Because all the people from Antioch ran in this area
would walk over here.
They'd come here to school. The Hargrove, George Hargrove, and all of them came to school here.
I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Well, now, from Dickinson to? Because that wasn't but 2 miles, don't worry.
I don't know where they came from Dickinson. I guess they caught the bus and went to Orange Street, I think, a lot of them. But a lot of them used to come here because the buses used to pick them up and pull them off at Andrew B. Duke.
Yeah, because all my friends that started Andrew B. Duke that moved over to Henderson Street in that area, they could continue to come back to the orphanage. Uh-huh. But I couldn't. They wouldn't take me in because I never...
Yes. Well, the bus would bring them on around to the school like they bus students to the schools now.
Tell me about, what did you, everybody carry their own lunch or?
At first we had a cafeteria for a long time.
You would eat at the orphanage cafeteria?
No, had a cafeteria in the school on the second floor. Had a cafeteria, had people cooking in, you could buy your own lunch.
The orphanage kids walked back over to
their... They came back over to their
building
to for lunch. They came over to back to their cafeteria.
But you had enough kids in the community?
In the community to have a cafeteria there.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Was that the state paid for the teachers and the orphanage maintained the upkeep of the building?
Yes. The state paid for the paid the teachers, and they also paid the janitor. But the building was kept by them.
The orphanage. What about your supplies and things like that?
They came from school just like the others. They went on the same order as Orange Street or any other school, Merpart or any other school like that. And see, those buses would come through. They'd come through and here and drop a load off, and then they'd keep on to like the higher schools like Merpart and those.
Let's talk about your father first. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little history about your father, where he came from.
Well, my father was born right in the house where he lives now, right on West Antioch Drive, where my mother lives now. He was born there. And my grandfather, they call him Tam Kern, and he was a great politician. He used to walk 20 miles just to cast his vote. And you didn't find that many people, blacks, voting at that time. But when it gets back to the Kearns, my Robert Kern and Carolina Cooper Kern got married in the year about 1856. And Caroline was born something like 1840, because she was approximately 16 years old when she married. And then Carolina, it was recorded in the books that Carolina and Robert in 1866 married to the Free People books. And in 1870, Carolina and her children, Spencer and Lucy Kern, were listed in the household of Manson Breedlove and his wife, Patsy Cruz Breedlove. And they were in Oxford Township. Now, Lucy Kern was my great aunt. My grandfather's name was Spencer Kern, and Spencer and Lucy were sisters and brothers. And then from Spencer Kern was born Lucy Kern, and then Spencer Kern, and then Agnes Kern. And all of them lived right in this area now. And then from Spencer, Lucy Kern didn't have any children, and Agnes had a son that died as a baby. And Spencer Kern was my father, had 7 children. And it was Helen, Doris, Rose, Ernestine, Flora, Calvin, and Jean. And of those children, Calvin died in 1992, October the 2nd. And my father died January 23rd, 1990. And that was Spencer Kern.
Okay, I knew Miss Agnes Kern, cause that's your aunt, and she you present live in her house, in her house, where she was. How long did they live? All after she left home, they came here and lived. Her and her husband, or where did they go?
No, they lived in the house up there, where Mrs. Hicks lived when they first got married. And then they had this house built here. But all this land in here from West Antioch Drive all the way back to the Cheatham's, and all the way back down here, was Mr. Kittrell owned it. And Mr. Kittrell was my Uncle Jack's uncle, his grandfather. And his mother was Mrs. Clory Kearney. And Miss Clory Kearney, when he gave all the children land, his children land, and that's how he built the house. They built the house here on this land.
Miss Agnes, you'll describe all your father, brothers, and sisters, but I just know her. She was always quiet as a cat, and always mild.
Yeah.
And they never get loud or anything?
No, and she worked at the orphanage for about 26 years over in the dining room. And the children, just about the year before she died, they honored her. And they talked about how good she was and how nice she was to them and how much they enjoyed her and how much she taught them of how to live and things like that, and how she taught them how to cook.
It's kind of like home economics, yeah. A little bit of that. Okay. And the kids have worked in the dining room, washed trays and did stuff like that.
Yeah, washed dishes. They did everything. Clean.
I did that too.
And they had to cook.
You could get a free lunch when I was at Maripaw at Orange Street.
Oh, yeah.
At Maripaw, if you worked in the cafeteria, when they got out there, you could get a free lunch and they gave you a dollar or something for work. Yeah. We didn't miss no days because that incentive for a free lunch and a dollar was a lot of money, you know, for us. So I understand that. What about her husband? I wasn't old enough for anything. Where did he come from?
No, he died, but he came from here. They lived in this community right here. That's where, see, his grandfather owned all this land.
What was his grandfather's name?
He was a Kittrell.
He was a Kittrell, okay. Okay. Tell me about another one of your uncle's aunts on your father's side. I don't know.
My aunt Lucy was the oldest one, and she was very quiet, but she worked at the Imperial Tobacco Factory for many years and the office there. At that time, she carried the mail and did things like that around the office.
What was her name?
Lucy.
Karen.
Yeah, she was a Henry hand. She married a Henry hand.
Oh. And she walked to work and back? Or where was
no, she, her husband took her to work. She didn't drive, but he drove, so he took her to work. And it's H-E-N-R-I-H-A-N-D.
Thank you.
Because a lot of people spell it wrong.
Yeah, I did too. I should ask. That's what I spoke. And the hand is H-A-N.
Yeah, it's H-E-N-R-I-H-A-N-D.
Okay, tell me another. And how many years you think she did that type of work?
I guess about 25 years.
She went to school there. What school did they go to, your father and them go to?
Well, see, they went to Merrill Potter. When you finished Merrill Potter, you could go on out. Some of them went to what they called a normal school. I don't know what that was.
I got
a year or so.
I got research on that.
Uh-huh. But they could go on out and teach and do whatever they wanted.
Where did they go? Your father and them go to school at when y'all called?
All of them went to Merrill Potter.
In the first grade?
Oh, no. When they were in the first grade, they went to a school that Mrs. Anna Rogers had.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have it down.
Uh-huh.
And people ask me, they didn't know anything about that. But yes,
you
verified it for me.
Uh-huh. Mrs. Anna Rogers.
Where was the house at?
I don't know. It was somewhere back down in here. I mean, you know, back down by where my sister Jean and Roy lived, somewhere back over in there.
What was her name? Anna?
Anna Rogers.
I got the house in the wrong place. I put the house in front over there, Doc Chavis, crossing from Doc
Chavis. But that's her house. That's where she lived. But they had a little one-house school back in it somewhere. She didn't teach in her house. She'd had a one-house school. That's what I understood.
She taught at Bridges Chapel.
Maybe that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Uh-huh. I know she had, it was a school back there that Miss Anna Rogers taught, because I used to.
Okay, she was in charge of the whole school.
Huh? Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. That's Bridges Chapel.
Okay. Well, where was it? Wasn't it back down in here? It wasn't at her house.
Right where the upholstery shop is.
Mm-hmm.
You got right back in there about 50 feet, because it drops off. If you go down and come in with a sewage treatment plant,
mm-hmm.
it's a hill there. And the reason they, I can tell you a story about that school. Miss Pickett didn't go, but her older sister's name went over there, Miss Rachel Fawcett,
mm-hmm.
and Mrs. Chavis went there. But Mrs. Chavis, she wasn't, when I was interviewing, she wasn't, she couldn't tell
but
me.
But see, my daddy and Miss Chavis, I think, was about, I've always heard that, say about 14 months older than my dad, Miss
mm-hmm.
Chavis was.
Mm-hmm.
So all of them went to school over in that section, but that's why I thought it was back then in here somewhere.
Well, what happened, it's too much red dirt in there. Mm-hmm. And when it rained, it was muddy.
And you can't get in there,
you know.
Well, is the building still standing?
No, it's gone. And that's how Anna York Church came. It was too bad over there for walking and getting in after the weather was bad. So what they did was they decided to build a school over here where Antioch, where Rotter Road Church is. And after they built the school, you wouldn't believe this, a minister came along and talked them into having prayer service or having Bible study on Wednesday nights
mm-hmm.
because the school wasn't being used. And so the members went along with it. But he was a minister preaching in houses, like he had two or three different denominations.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, he got where they believed in him, so he talked them into using his school on Sundays, so because the children don't use it. And then when they got his foot in that door, then he said, look, let's let the school children walk to Murray Park, walk to Orange Street.
Mm-hmm.
Because the orphanage is building a school and they can go there. And they lost their school on account of their minister. And they didn't agree with it, Miss Pickett say, but you know how the minister, mm-hmm. you know, he's right.
Yeah.
And so that's the story behind that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why my research is what comes first, the church or the school.
Mm-hmm.
That was a school of Bridge and Chapel, but the minister taken it away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the problems we had back then. Our parents, foreparents had, because a minister would preach over one side of town with 15 or 20 people. He'd be a Methodist, he'd be a Baptist, he'd be a Presbyterian or whatever. And then when he'd get a hold on everybody, he'll decide what he want to make the church.
Mm, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then he break up denominations and everybody had to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm. That's the story behind where your father went to school at.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Bridges Chapel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Tell me something about Miss Annie Payton. What's her name? What was her name? Wasn't that the lady's name who used to live down here? Lucretia. What was the lady's name?
Hers.
Yeah.
Lucretia Hers.
Yeah.
All I know is Lucretia Hers. She taught in a school.
Yeah, she taught at Black Brown School.
That's all. I just knew her husband was a minister.
Oh, okay. What about just from everywhere?
I don't know.
Did he ever have a church?
I think he used to preach at Raleigh Road.
Okay.
Raleigh Road. I believe that's where he preached. Because okay. He used to come by walking, going up to church. So it must have been Raleigh Road.
He might have been that minister.
I don't know.
Yeah. You can check around your family.
Well, it's a whole lot about that.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's, Miss Amos, I can tell you, I was reading about Stovall. You keep going in there, mm-hmm. until you get the right piece because a white's controlling material. And I got the same piece I got over to the real history too. And there was a problem there. About the school and the church too. When mm-hmm. I was reading through the history,
mm-hmm.
it's supposed to have been a church, and they took it for a school, uh-huh. took the school for a church, and they.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the strongest in the community kind of?
Yeah.
You know, took advantage.
Did like they wanted to.
Yes, mm-hmm. if you call it. So whites had that same problem in Stovall. That's the only area that I found out. But yeah, mm-hmm. we had it, but they had the same problem we had
mm-hmm.
with people taking that. Their community over and those people thought they was right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got another one?
Oh, now that was all of my daddy's side. Well, he was married my daddy's mother, which is Spencer Kern up that I was telling you about, the one that called Time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was married to Mamie Owens. Time Kern was my grandfather. And he was married to Mamie Owens. And Mamie Owens, you remember the man that we call Uncle Jordan that used to be at church, Jordan Owens?
Uh-huh.
Used to be down at First Baptist? Well, that was his sister.
You got to spell that Owens because Mr. Gregory said you get in trouble.
O-W-E-N-S.
Okay.
Uh-huh, that's how they spell it.
Gregory said, get a dictionary.
Yeah.
When you spell it, no, he's an
so that, and see, the Kern side is very small because it was only three children. And my family, see, it was my daddy and my two aunts.
So your father was the only one who had kids, huh?
Yes, because my Aunt Agnes had a child, but the baby
aunt.
Lived about a month.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And so my dad was the only one, and he had enough for all of them. It was seven of us.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So now on my mother's side,
all right.
my mother's mother had eight children.
What's your mother? What's your mother's
my
whole
mother's name?
Name
was Effie. Kern, she would look at the Kern. Effie Davis. And her name was Effie Jane. She married Robert Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And she had Lula, James, Robert, Johnny, Herbert, Effie Beatrice, Rosetta, and Gladys. And those were her children.
So your mother had how many sisters and brothers?
It was my mother. It's eight of them.
Eight?
It was eight of them.
Damn.
Okay. My Aunt Lula died, and James died, Robert, and my Uncle Johnny just died. He was 90 years old. He just died last October. And Herbert died, and Aunt Rosetta died, and Mama, which is Effie Beatrice and Gladys, are the only two living, the baby and the knee baby.
Now, what's F and Beatrice last name?
F and Beatrice is my mama, Kern.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
F and Beatrice is the Kern. That's my mama.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And what about the other two? Where do they live?
Okay, Gladys lives out at Olive Grove, right across from the church, Olive Grove Church.
Okay.
And she married a Satterwhite. And this is Margaret that works at Central Bank. That's her mother.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And Margaret married Harvey Howard.
Okay, now tell me about that.
Rosetta has one son that lives in Connecticut. And his name is Robbie. And my mother had 8 children. That was Effie Beatrice. And then Herbert had one child that's named Louise and lives in California. Now, Herbert married, wait a minute, what's that child's name? Somebody from him. He married Julia Bridget. And the Bridgets are related to...
How you spell that, Bridget?
B-R-I-D-G-E-F. And they are related to, what's the dog catcher?
Robinson.
Yes. Well, his mama and Louise are, I think they were sisters.
Know what? It was a black man in Oxford about 2 months ago looking for the Bridgets, the blacks.
Well,
and they told me it wasn't any.
Julia was a Bridget. And they had one daughter, and her name is Louise, and she lives in California. And
where did these Bridgets come from?
Right up there at, go all the way up Linden Avenue, and then run into, on Broad Street, where you run out up there, where that fish market is on the corner of that.
Alexander,
and go right across there. And it's their first house on the left. That's where the Bridgets live.
Where Went Bart and them live now?
Mm-hmm. Well, is it the first one? Wait a minute. Is it another house there? The next house?
Josephine Graham owns.
No, not Josephine.
Where's Mr. Bart?
Yeah, well, is it another house in there? Yeah, it's another house there. That's the, one of the girls lived in there.
Okay.
She could tell you that the Bridgets live there. And that's where, what's his name? We just call his name Robinson. Robinson's family came from. Their house up there.
Yeah, that's next door.
That's next door. That's where they live. And see, my uncle married one of them. They were Bridgets.
That's why you do research on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Because I didn't know. I never ran into any Bridgets since I've been out here.
Uh-huh. Well, they were the Bridgets. That was my Uncle Herbert. And then my Uncle Johnny married Winston. Married Lillian Winston. Scrap Bass. You know Scrap Bass. From out at Olive Grove. They live on Hancock Road.
Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh. And you probably know Mac Davis.
Mm-hmm.
They live on Summit Avenue. That's their family.
Because he married into the Kittrell. When the Davis boys married.
No, that's...
That's a different...
That's the same Davis. Okay. That's... let me get the boy's name. There's so many of them. That's Kenneth.
Mm-hmm.
Kenneth married the Kittrell girl.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are my first cousins, too.
Now, where do Red Severe and them come in at?
Okay, I'm getting to that. Let me see. That was Johnny. Robert Davis his daughter is Deborah Sidney that worked for Dr. Chavers. That's my mama's brother's child.
To come from out of the Hollow Grove.
Mm-hmm. They live out of the Hollow Grove. See, that was all that. That's where my mama was born. And that's where all that land out in there. It was my uncle's land. Okay, and then you come back to James Davis, was Red's dad.
Okay.
Uh-huh, that's my other uncle, James.
Okay.
was red, that mama, brother, that was red, that is red, ill, Severa, and John. John died.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then my other aunt was Lula, and she had one child, and he died a long time ago. And that's my mother's side of the family.
Okay. And if her brothers and sisters went to the service, was in her brothers in the service, do you know?
I don't think so.
How many of them finished your eighth grade on your mother's side?
Hey, I know Lula went to Mary Potter. And I think all of them finished the eighth grade. I think they did.
Okay. Your father's side, how far did they go?
All of them finished the eighth grade.
All of them. And then they went, the ones that, who else taught school side, Miss Aunt?
She didn't teach them at Lucy.
Did your father have anybody teach school?
Mm-mm.
In his class? No. In his family?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
No.
Did your father have anybody to go to service on his, any of his brothers?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
He didn't have any brothers, only three of them.
Your father was always free.
What you mean?
His family was never in slavery.
Mm-mm. My father's father, they were mulattoes, and so he wasn't in slavery.
Mulattoes.
Mulattoes. Mm-hmm. Mulattoes. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's, okay, that's what they were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, your mother was...
My mother's mother was part Indian.
Okay, tell me a little bit about what about it or why.
Mm-hmm.
How did she know her mother was part Indian? What did she say?
Well, because my grandmother always told us about her family. And her people were Burwells. Her father was a Burwell and her mother was Lucretia Williams. And she always told us that her some of her people, her died, and she was reared by, when her mother died when they were young, and they were reared by their aunt or something like that. She used to tell us, but I forgot her aunt's name that she was saying.
Where did it come up at? Out there in the same area?
Yes, they were in that same area.
Were they sharecroppers? Or they on their own land?
They on their own land.
Your mother and father did. Your mother's.
Mm-hmm. My mother's father.
Was your mother interrelated to Miss Bibby? Didn't she used to live out there?
Mm-mm. No, she wasn't related to Miss Bibby. Miss Bibby didn't live out there.
What was your mother's home church at first?
She used to go to, they lived. When she came, when they was younger, they lived at, before they bought the land over here in Belltown area. Not Belltown, what is it?
Oak Grove.
Oak Grove. Olive Grove.
Okay. Oh, Olive Grove.
Uh-huh, Olive Grove.
Okay.
They lived out at, I think her father was sharecropping when they lived out at, what is it, Hunter's Crossing over here? Like by George Wright Funeral Home.
Oh, okay.
Whatever that was. And so she went to that church out there, the Methodist church. What was?
She went to the white Selma
Mm-mm.
church.
It's not white. They there now. Big Zion.
AME has been changed two or three times.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, that's where she first went to church.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go back.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother was born out at Hornets.
Somewhere out there. Mm-hmm.
That's where the Davis was born at.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that after that. We finished because I'm doing some research on that area.
Uh-huh.
Okay. When back then your mother's father had how many children was it?
Eight
children.
Mm-hmm.
And did your granddaddy buy the land or did her father buy the land?
Her father moved out there and started buying the land, and he died, and so then their brother
finished it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that
so
was
so. They own the land now. They have some of the children have sold.
How many acres was it in all at one
about
time?
About 60 some acres.
they worked hard to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Amos, let's talk a little bit about sacrifice. I always ask people to compare sacrifice to then you and then now comparison. All the sacrifice those your four parents did, and they talk about on TV too a lot about sacrifice, about mm-hmm. school. The conditions and the sacrifice and what they gave up. Those people gave up. You know, they sacrificed a whole lot.
Mm, you sure?
Why was it so strong and everything?
I think when they came along back then, our parents didn't have as much. So, as usual, they will say, well, I want to do this and that. My daughter go to school, and because when I came along, I couldn't do it. You understand what I mean? So they want to leave more for their children than they inherited when they came up. That's the main thing.
But it was nickels and dimes and quarters now. The ones that listen to this tape, uh-huh. It won't know dollars and...
Oh, no. Well, you think about it. When you went to school some time ago, where it cost so much now to go to college, when you went then, you paid something like...
$300.
Yeah. Nothing now.
Yeah, went down the kitchen for five.
Yeah.
Pay when you want in the 60s, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it changed in the 70s, but you're right.
That's right.
All the way mm-hmm. through the 60s, you could go to school for four.
Yes, but now you go to school, it's going to cost... Some people don't make as much a year as you have to pay to go to college.
All right, but what we're just talking about is how much they gave up and sacrifice, and these kids don't know that they used bags, sacks, they did everything to sew on their hands.
Oh, sure they did. Because farmers used to they made feed sacks in flavored material. And after they finished the feed, they'd make you a dress out of it. You know, things like that.
Right.
And people didn't throw away things like they do now.
And what they do the next year,
and
they would change their legs. Some people said they'd take the coat
mm-hmm.
and take it all the way down and change and reverse it.
Yes.
And turn it to they take the inside that was this year and put it on the outside and mm-hmm. take the outside and put it on the inside got a new coat.
People did more things then than they do now anyway. Because now we can buy things. Okay, we go to the grocery store and buy our sausages and things. I remember when I was small, my mama, when they kill hogs, they can their sausage, just like you can, you know, string beans and things. She'd take her sausage and cook it up and fry it, like, you know, and put it in the jar. And then in the winter, you had sausage to eat all winter, but people don't do anything like that now. That's not done now.
All right, our garden is that food line, ain't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You gave me a real nice overview of your family, and I learned a lot, and some things that I've been working on, it came out of everything. So, let's talk about the sacrifice your mother and father did sending y'all to college and to school. Talk a little bit about how hard they had to work doing that.
Well, when they stopped farming when we got older to go to college, and Mom and Dad had left here and went to New York and worked to put my sisters and all through school, through college, because they could make more working there than they could here farming.
Mm-hmm.
So they just went left and rented the farm out to a white man called Vernon Strawford. Mm-hmm. And he took care of all our tobacco acreage and everything and farmed down there while they were away working. And he paid them for the tobacco, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody was left back here. You was left back here to run the house.
I was back here. I was about the only one that was here. I'd stay back here and take care of the house and everything. Because, see, it was two houses. We rent one house out on the farm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what year did you go to school? You started?
I went, you mean to college?
No, your elementary school.
don't remember the year that I went to elementary school.
Okay, you. Mm-hmm. What?
And I finished Mary Potter in 1954 though.
Where did you go to business school or college?
I went to through East Carolina, or Library Science School from East Carolina. What happened, they did not have enough certified librarians in this area. So we went to Lewisburg College during the summer, and we went during the week one night a week to get ours. Violet and myself and Joyce and Henrietta.
All y'all carpooled together.
Mm-hmm. We drew carpool together and went, and then during the summer we'd go from 9 to 1, you know, all during the summer. But it was a lady, Mrs. Crickmore, that came up from East Carolina and taught the course to us. Library Science.
Okay, that's.
And then I had to fall. Reference, I had to go down to East Carolina and stay for a week, all of us, and use the library down there for a reference department to get a reference certificate.
That's now what you just described, that's what norm school is about, too. Mm-hmm. It's the same way. Mm-hmm. They went to school that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they would work it that way. That's the way they worked it. The orphanage kids, their church, they had their own church on campus, Hammer.
Yes.
And you people had y'all's out in the street.
Well, no, I think they used to bring a lot of them to First Baptist. They had Sunday school there.
Okay.
They had their Sunday school at the orphanage, but when they got ready to go to church service, they would take them to different churches within the area. Mm-hmm. They used to come First Baptist and go to Antioch, mm-hmm. to the Presbyterian, mm-hmm. and the Methodist Church, mm-hmm. they would take them around to different Sundays, mm-hmm. you know, to different churches.
So they have
but they always had the Sunday school up there.
How many, when you was going over to Andrew B. Duke, did they have 2 rooms for first grade, 2 rooms for second?
No, only had 1 room for each, first grade through the 8th grade. It was just 1 room.
Okay.
When I said 1 room, all the first grade was in 1 room. All the second grade in 1 room. And like that.
Okay, so none of your kids, nobody had to be divided up.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, they taught all first graders in 1 room and all second graders in 1. And on through the 8th grade. But it wasn't, Miss Rosa Cousin taught there too.
Tell me about your books.
Our books were just like the others. Were state books.
Would they use somebody else that had them like I had?
Yeah, just like kids. The rest of them.
Yeah, yeah. White kids that had them. And you ain't know the names and was outdated.
Right. Mm-hmm.
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 That's one thing. When I came up like in a great neighborhood, and I tell people, on this different, I knew that the white kids I played with went to their school and we went to ours. But by me knowing everybody, when I got a book, I knew it was whites that had it because I knew most all the blacks, and when we got that book, it had been used for years, 3 to 4 years before we got that book.
Mm-hmm.
And so people don't understand that's a setback for us too.
Mm-hmm.
And you had quality teachers when you was at Andrew B. Duke, because they was kind of like hands-on.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's the advantage of learning, because y'all had your devotion high in each classroom or before school, or you read Bible?
We had devotion in each classroom, but once a month, I believe it was, or once a week, we had devotion together, the whole school, and we used to walk from the school building up to what we call a chapel,
mm-hmm.
up here to have devotion. I believe it was once a month that we had devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody would come from the school up here, mm-hmm. and have a overall devotion. You go back, and each teacher would be responsible for that devotion, you know, this time. And we would have people to get up, and sometimes they'd put skits on, you know,
mm-hmm.
things like that. Mm.
Did y'all have a chapel in your school?
Mm-mm.
What did you have?
We came over here to the chapel.
Okay, y'all had y'all programs.
Mm-hmm.
Little different things,
yeah,
May Day and different programs and stuff.
Well, May Day was always on the campus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about your current events that y'all order? Did school order?
Oh, yes. We had things just like the library. We had a library over there.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, we had always had a library. When I was young and went to school there, we had library, and each class would go to the library a certain hour, mm-hmm. you know, on a certain day. Like, might have been Tuesday from 10 to 11, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. But if we needed something extra during the week, we could always go back at a certain time. But one class was going at a certain time every week. And then when I finished school and went back to work over here, I was in the library and we did the same thing.
It's one thing you, I know you appreciate and everything, but since I've been doing research and everything, I tell people, I wish I had been brought up around books. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say it. I guess you could describe it. You don't know what's in it, or you don't know. Books, if you're around them, you'll like them, or some. How did you get hooked with books, per se, not as many at home, and you got into a library? How did you?
I find that books is anything that you want to know is in a book, and you can find it. Anywhere you want to go, you've heard about